Romans chapter 14, if you'd like to turn there. Would appreciate it if you would. I really am glad to be part of a church that opens Bibles or flips them on, which is more and more the case. Once upon a time, we used to listen for pages turning. Now we look for the little glow on your face. No. That would be kind of cool. Turn off the lights and see the glow. Okay, so as we look at this, you have rights and you have responsibilities. We make a lot more noise about our rights than we do about our responsibilities. Theoretically, these two things should balance each other. Our rights and our responsibilities should keep each other in place. Think, for example, for the right to bear arms. And then think of the people who bear arms irresponsibly. And you go, oh, yeah, that's a significant thing. Because I have a right to bear arms, but so many people bear arms irresponsibly. And you go, what do you do when someone has this right, but they do not balance it with responsibility? See, I'm going to say we live in a culture, meaning us here, where I think we bear arms pretty responsibly. Yet we train our kids how to use firearms. We show them how to shoot and when to shoot and when not to shoot and how, you know, all those things, because that is bearing the right, balancing the right with responsibility. That is the way it should be done. But we look out at the world and all the people say, we need to take away this right because people are not balancing it with responsibility. And I don't know how you solve that problem. One of the reasons I've never run for government is because I don't know what to do when I get there. It's like, I don't know how to solve these problems. But there needs to be balance between rights and responsibility. And the thing is, taking away the rights then, that doesn't reflect responsibility either. You're teaching people to be irresponsible. You're teaching people to make other people responsible for you. I don't like that at all. So what do? You bring more rules and restrictions? Do you take away rights? What's the solution there? Okay, as Christians, we have rights and responsibilities to care for our brothers. That's specifically the context we're looking at here. I have freedom in my rights, but the responsibility to care for my brothers might sometimes cause me to curtail my rights, or at least it should. And if I say, that's tough for him because I have this right and I'm going to take it, then I am not showing love for my brother. And that's what we're supposed to do. So today, we're going to look at this passage, Romans 14, verses 13 through the end of the chapter. And we're going to see first that our goal is to look out for our brother. Then that we should not let our freedom trip our brother up. And finally, that we're here to build each other up, not tear each other down. We have to be careful on that. So let's look first, chapter 14, verse 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or stumbling block in a brother's way. Okay, more than not judging, because we talked last week about not judging our brother. We looked at that. More than not judging, don't impede. Don't cause your brother to stumble. Don't cause him to fall. Don't block his way as he seeks to serve God. So first, don't judge what they do. You disagree with their convictions, but allow them to have their convictions, because that's what a conviction is. Don't speak critically about them or to them, because it's not right. You don't impede them. Don't do things that make it difficult for them to live according to their convictions. Don't get in the way, because those are actually their convictions. They believe they're doing that for God, right or wrong. They believe they're doing that for God. And he uses two terms, obstacles and stumbling blocks. And they really are synonyms. And both those words, by the way, are used to describe Jesus Christ. Both Peter and Paul quote Isaiah on this. In chapter Romans, just a few chapters before this, in Romans chapter 9, verses 32 to 33, we read this. I'll start at verse 31. But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as it though by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. Just as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. And Jesus is the stumbling block. He is the obstacle that people fall over. First Peter, Peter does the same thing. Peter chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Peter is interesting to me because Peter's the one that Jesus said, you are Simon, and on this rock I will build the church. And then Peter writes this about stumbling blocks or stumbling stones, and he talks about it, this being Jesus. Peter wrote, for this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, for they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. And so we find Jesus Christ is described as this cornerstone. I think maybe it's best described in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. So a little bit of Bible gymnastics here. Hope you can handle that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. And Peter, again, Paul, writing to a different church, says, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles foolishness. So we find Jesus himself is the stumbling block. He is the necessary stumbling block. Understand this. Jesus is the necessary stumbling block. He is the one that either you build on him or you trip over him. He is the either one who blocks the door or is the door. Right? He is the necessary stumbling block. You have to get around Jesus. You have to deal with Jesus. There is no way into heaven but by him. There is no other way, no other name known among man by which we must be saved. He is it. He is, if you will not come to him, then you will stumble over him. If you come to him, he is the cornerstone and you build on him. That is what we find here. He is the necessary. He is the way to heaven and he is in the way for anyone who tries to get heaven, into heaven any other way. There's only one door in. There's not one door for this group and another door for that group and another door for another. There's one door and it's Jesus. I am the door, right? That's what he said. He is the cornerstone or he is the stone of offense. He is the necessary stumbling block. We are not to be stumbling blocks. Aha, you go, oh ho. If he is a necessary stumbling block and we cause someone to stumble, we are unnecessary stumbling blocks. See, it's like if I offend you with the gospel, so be it. If I offend you with Steve, that's a problem. The difference is pretty clear, right? Steve should not keep anybody from coming to Christ. Someone says, yeah, I'd come to Christ, but have you seen that guy? You seen that guy who's out there talking about Jesus? And by the way, we all know people that fit that description, don't we? People who are like unadvertisements, for Jesus Christ. And it's like, holy cow, get away. And what's really interesting, this word stumbling block, this is an awesome word. This is one of the best image-producing words in the Greek language, scandalon. Scandalon, right? Definition. This is all out of the definition from my big fat Greek dictionary. The trigger of a trap on which the bait is placed. Wow. That's the first part of the definition, scandalon. This word translated stumbling block. The trigger of a trap on which the bait is placed, and which, when touched by the animal, springs and causes it to close, causing entrapment. A little farther down, scandalon always denotes an enticement to conduct which could ruin the person in question. Scandalon always denotes an enticement to conduct which could ruin the person in question. And so you can see how we get scandal out of this. That sounds scandalous. Okay, it leads to behavior that could ruin someone. The stumbling block is someone who's going to hurt. Let me give you an example in Scripture where this is found. Matthew chapter 16. So this is Jesus. Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking of all people to Peter. Peter has said a few verses earlier, Jesus says, who do they say that I am? Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, blessed are you, Peter, son of Jonah. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. This was revealed to you by God. A few verses later. Oh, poor Peter. We pick on him so much. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and said, and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me. Stand alone. Your mind, you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man. And what a picture. Peter saying, no, this can't be. You can't go die. This can't happen. No. And Peter says, you are putting bait on the trap. You are loading the trap that will ruin my what I'm trying to do. Because Jesus is God. He's also human. And the human side wants to live. It's like, yeah. So why would you do this thing where you know it's going to die? And Peter says, no, this will never happen. And Jesus, there's something in Jesus, I believe, that says, but because of the word he uses, that says, oh, Peter, I want to do what you're saying. But if I do, it would ruin everything I came here to do. It's a trap. It's a well-meaning trap, but it's a trap. And Peter, if Jesus listened to him, it would have been a scandal. Jesus would have failed. You want to talk about a scandal? That would have been scandalous. It's a good word. Peter didn't know it. His well-intentioned words were a trap. Had Jesus listened, it would have ruined his ministry. So if you take your freedoms... See, this is where you can trip your brother. If you take your freedoms and try to impose them on your brother who has convictions that those are not his freedoms, you are putting bait on a trap, because if he steps in and does what you do, he is caught because he has violated his own conscience. He has violated his own standards and convictions of what he can and cannot do. Be careful about imposing your freedom, pushing your freedom. No, it's okay. Come on. It's all right. Come with me and do this. It won't hurt anything. Lots of believers are doing this. Lots of brothers do this. Come do it with me. Well, boy, lots of Christians are doing it. He sure did name a lot. I don't think it's right. Well, okay. And he does it, whatever it is. Fill in the blanks. How does he feel in the morning? Wakes up thinking what? What's he thinking about the rest of that week? His conscience, he has violated his own conscience. You can't escape that. He knows he knowingly violated his conscience. And he did what he believed was wrong. Do not prevent your brother from walking according to his convictions. Even if his convictions are wrong and you can show they're wrong. He used the example of eating meat. And he says, we all know that meat, that we can eat what we want. But the weaker brother says he can't. And he uses that as an example. Don't offend your weaker brother. Look out for your weaker brother. He's wrong. That's why he's the weaker brother. But still, don't offend him. Protect him. Don't let your rights do harm. Verses 14 through 18. I'm sorry. I look at verse 14. It's about the demoniac. It's because I'm still in Matthew. Turn a page. There you go. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. But to him who thinks it to be unclean, to him it is unclean. If it violates his conscience, it's wrong for him. That's what he's saying. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is good for you be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. A case of contrasting freedoms. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus. That is a really, really strong statement of confidence. I know and am convinced in Jesus. It's like, argue with that, would you? It's like you may disagree, but you're not arguing with him. He is really solidly convinced. Absolutely. That is a strong statement. I'm right. And he says, I'm right. And I know that nothing is unclean in itself. He says, I get to eat anything I want. It's clean to me. I know that. I am confident in that. I have freedom to do these things. But to him who thinks it is unclean, it is unclean. So Dwayne isn't here today. Oh, that's really sad to take somebody as an illustration when he's not here. But Dwayne, you got to watch this online sometime. So, podcast, you can get this on podcast. Dwayne's chili, 2 years running, has won the unusual ingredient contest. Right? Year one, it was bobcat. Year two, it was raccoon. Okay, now, there are two kinds of people. Those who say, oh, I can't wait to try his chili. And those who say, I will never eat his chili. Am I right? If I threw up, I asked for a show of hands, I bet we'd be about 50-50. It's really interesting because both years I've watched, and afterwards there's like a beeline, people wanting to go try his chili. I got to go see what this is like. And I think there's other people going, ooh, I ate that? You should have posted this. It's like, I think it is posted, isn't it? It's like, man, I'm going to go throw up. You know? Do you go out of way to eat it, or do you go out of your way to avoid it? Either way, your opinion might be pretty strong. What are you going to do with this chili? One person is eager, another is offended. And sometimes an opinion on something is enough to make it so. An opinion on something is not enough to make it. For instance, some things, your opinion doesn't change anything. You may have an opinion that murder is okay. That doesn't make it okay. It's still wrong. You may have an opinion that stealing is okay, that immorality is okay. You know, the Aladdin movies, even the Disney one, there's the line in it at the start. He says, gotta eat to live, gotta steal to eat. And he's justifying thief. And he's the hero of the show. I'm going, no. He's a healthy, able-bodied young man. He doesn't have to steal to eat. He can find some. It's like from the get-go, I'm going, I don't like this movie. It's like, I hate Curious George, too, by the way. Curious George always does the wrong thing, but it works out okay, so they say, okay, it worked out. Curious George is evil. No. You say, one man's opinion. Some things do not fall into the category of opinion. We're not saying anything, if you can justify it to yourself, makes it okay. There is still an absolute thing of right and wrong. But there are opinion issues. And some things do fall into the category of opinion. And if you don't have the freedom, you don't have the freedom. And that freedom can come from yourself. Don't hurt your brother with your freedoms. And the passage continues in this illustration of eating, right? If your freedom in eating causes your brother to stumble, you used your freedom badly. He's convinced not to eat pork, and you, man, you start waving that piece of bacon under his nose. Oh, you're evil, but I love it, right? Because how do you resist that? Who was it put that piece of bacon out yesterday? Was that you, Knut? Yeah. Knut put a piece of bacon in front of me and John yesterday and said, try it. And I looked at John, and I'm thinking, I bet I can get that before him. And I'm thinking, this is. He put this out. He said for both of us to try one piece of bacon. And I just kind of backed off because I thought, I can't be good. I have to leave that bacon alone. And then John took and ripped off a piece. And Knut took, and there was a third. So I was able to do that. But for me, you hand out a piece of bacon, say try it. That means a piece of bacon. It doesn't mean half a piece of bacon. It doesn't mean third a piece of bacon. It's like I would have. You almost caused me to sin there, buddy. So don't hurt your brother with your freedoms. Real life examples, opinions on medicine and medical things. Some people, it's going to be modern medicine is great. Let me take advantage of it. Leave me alone. Other people are going to say it's got to be holistic, naturopath, things like that. Other people are going to say it's got to be natural. I'm not going to talk about vaccines except to say the word because I think that's enough. There's a lot of positions on these things. People get convicted. They get convictions. They're going to follow these things. I have my convictions. The question is, at what point do we say, I have to be careful about imposing my convictions? Medicine, medical things. Education. Do I dare say this one? Homeschool, public school, private school. Do you know that you can be any one of those three by conviction? Because we say, no, because the person who sends them to private school says, I want my kids to grow up in a safe environment so that by the time they go out into the world, they are prepared, strong, rooted to face the world. Okay, the person who says public school says, we want not just our children, but we also want to be salt and light in this world. And we feel that this is an important place to do this. And then you have the people that homeschool. They say, God gave me the responsibility to bring these kids up in the nurture and love of the Lord. And I don't want to pass that on to someone else. And you have three different positions. And I want to tell you that any one of the three can be held by conviction. But it's really hard to accept someone else's conviction when you have your own. That was, by the way, you want to go back 36 years. Man, I'm old. That was the first controversial issue I had to deal with at Trinity Bible Fellowship. I did not know. I came from the big city. Nobody cares what you do in the big city. I came here and everybody was asking me, how are you going to educate your kids? How are you going to educate your kids? Where are you going to send them to school? And I had no idea what I had walked into. And it took me about 3 weeks to find out, oh, this is contentious. And by the way, my statement to the church was, mind your stink. I didn't say stinking. Because I back then I was a better Christian. Mind your own business. Let each parent do what they want. By conviction, people can have different convictions. Leave them alone with their convictions. Don't cause your brother to stumble who has this conviction and try to force your conviction on them. Environmental care. I shouldn't laugh about this one. I was with my pastor buddies a few weeks ago. We're at the Longhorn, and this guy's explaining his yard care, and he says something about we were talking about dandelions, and he said something about weed and feed, but it's environmentally friendly. I'm going, I don't care. I kept my mouth shut. I don't care if your weed and feed is environmentally friendly. Does it kill weeds? You know, that's what I want to know. I'm sorry, the world planet's going to die, and it's my fault, okay? Because TV. Any TV at all? How much TV? What do you watch? Other. Yeah, there's a lot of real life examples where this applies today. We make our decisions. We thoughtfully make our decisions. Sometimes we just go along and whatever happens. But for the most part, we actually figure out what we think is right and wrong about these things. And we act according to what we have thought through. There's a lot of practical issues today where these things apply. The solution. Prayerfully think through and come to your own conviction, right? Going back to something we covered last week, let me find the reference, verse 5. One person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. In other words, each person make your intelligent decision and stick to the decision that you made. And if you get intelligently persuaded to another decision, then go with that. That's good, but it's he says be what you're persuaded of, what you have been reasoned into or have reasoned into on your own. That's the solution. Prayerfully think it through and come to your own conclusion. Act on your own conclusion and then mind your own business. Do not let what is good for you be spoken of for evil. And if you go around imposing your convictions on other people, then what is good for you will be spoken of as evil. Leave me alone. Let me make up my own mind. I heard what you had to say. Verses 17 and 18, remember what the kingdom of God is about. For the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. What are eating and drinking? Things that people hold different convictions on. It's not about these things that you can hold different convictions on, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. It's not about rules, it's about righteousness. It brings peace and joy in the Spirit. And if you serve Christ in righteousness while experiencing the peace and joy of the Spirit, that is both approved and acceptable. When he says, he says, for this, right? Let me find my verse because I'm lost. Verse 18, for he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by God. I'm going, this, what is this way? What do you mean this way? And I think this way means the way you have been persuaded you ought to live. And if the way you serve Christ is different than the way I serve Christ, it's still acceptable to God because we're serving him faithfully according to our convictions of what is right before him. We don't actually have to march in lockstep to be good Christians. It's an amazing thing. It's shocking. It's humbling because I think everybody should agree with me. Verses 19 to 20, build up 1922, build up, don't tear down. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Building up is the opposite of tearing down. You catch that? That we're supposed to build up. We're not supposed to tear down. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, meaning condemn himself in what he approves, who does not violate his own convictions. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. Pursue the things that make for peace and build each other up. Pursue. That's a good word. Pursue. Go after as if you intend to get it. Pursue what? Pursue the things which make for peace and building up of each other. Go after that as if you intend to reach peace and building each other up. Go after it as if you intend to accomplish that goal. Not as in, well, I made a try. It was hard. I gave it a shot. Oh, well, you know, it was a good shot. Almost made it. He says, no, pursue. You're a dog pursuing a rabbit, okay? Eventually, you exhaust it and you fall down. I don't know. It's a statement of determination. And it's easy to get distracted by lesser goals and focus and forget to focus on what matters. Go after your higher goal, peace and building up. Do not tear down the work of God for any of your disputable convictions. Your responsibility is to build the body up. Every one of us should be building the body up. We have spiritual gifts that complement each other so that we can build the body up. That's why we have them. The use of if you're used to your rights tears the body down, then you're not living up to your rights with responsibility. You're irresponsibly demanding your rights. That's not a good thing. Do not tear down the work of God for these things. Jesus Christ is the necessary stumbling stone. You are not. You are just someone getting in the way of someone else who's trying to live for Christ. Don't do that. Allow them to live for Christ according to their convictions. We have condemned and not condemned. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. And that's a contrast. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he has proved. He who doubts is condemned if he does. You see, and so you have not condemned, you have condemned. If you do what you believe is right, you are not condemned. You're even happy. If you do what you do not believe is right, you are condemned. Not condemned by God, really, but self-condemned. I mean, it works itself away to sin because you violate your conscience. Your conscience is what you believe is right. What is not of faith is sin. So you sin against your own rules, not against God's rules, but against your own, and God still calls that sin. You, by pushing your freedoms on your brother, have created a trap that put him in that situation. Be careful about the use of your rights. You have those rights. You have your convictions. And it's good. God bless you for having convictions. Because if you don't have convictions, what are you? You're just, what are you, a marshmallow for Jesus? You know, it's like, you got to have convictions. You've got to have things that you will stand on. And if you don't have things that you will stand on, then get some. Thoughtfully pursue. Think these things through. Make your decisions. You have convictions that you stand on. Good for you. God bless you for having convictions. God wants strong Christians. But be careful about using those to trap your brother. Remember, it's your goal first to build your brother up. And how you treat your brother is a greater measure of your faithfulness to Christ than the convictions you stand on. Build your brother up. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, this is a tough one because we love our convictions. We're convinced of them. Help us to see the difference between convictions and God's word and to not push our convictions on our brother, but to hold them as we are persuaded. We pray in Jesus' name.